Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective Podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we are doing on Thursday evening here in Manila. And from New York City, where it's Thursday morning, is Tim Bontemps.
Hello, guys.
Joining us from Dallas, Texas, where I think it's Thursday morning, is Ben McMahon.
Howdy, partners. It's pretty damn early in the morning, if you ask me, but I'm here for you.
I appreciate that. It's a challenge when there's a 12-hour time difference. It is a borderline party in Manila. It's pretty much a national holiday tomorrow with the opening of the FIBA World Cup. They moved the first game of the World Cup, which is the Philippines against the Dominican Republic and Carl Towns, to the largest stadium in the country, at least indoor stadium.
Hey,
and they're expecting to break all the...
Give Jordan Clarkson a shout-out, too, if you're going to... Come on, now.
Yes, I just, you know, just wanted to alert people that Carl Towns is on the Dominican Republic and expecting to get 55,000 people to break the record, whatever it is.
I bet there'll be a lot more people in there than that even, too. That's just how many seats they've got. I mean, for people that don't know, the Philippines is about as basketball-obsessed a place as there is on the planet. So they're going to be all over that game.
Yes. So, yeah, it's going to be a, you know, there's a lot of people who are, from what I can tell, who are just general NBA fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, the Lakers are the most popular team. Today is, Kobe Bryant Day 824. And Kobe is not surprisingly beloved here. In the Arenada Coliseum, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. There's two arenas actually in Manila where they're holding games. The Mall of Asia Arena, which is right next to this enormous mall, which... has very great stores in it, like Olive Garden and Shake Shack and Chili's.
Not meeting Brian's five-star taste, that's for sure.
They had a Din Tai Fung, which is what I ate for dinner last night. But the Mall of Asia is an incredible mall, but when you've seen the Dubai Mall this week, it takes a little back seat.
This year. There we go, back to Dubai. Get him back to Dubai.
This guy.
The Dubai Mall has 12,000
We're not in Dubai.
Spaces.
We're not in Dubai. Let's talk about the Philippines.
Fun fact. Anyway, so there's two arenas. One is the Mall of Asia Arena, which is where the finals are going to be held and where the U.S. is going to be the whole time. The other is the Arenada Coliseum, which is famous for hosting the Thrilla in Manila with George Frazier and Muhammad Ali, which I believe was in 1970. What?
No, I didn't know that. That's all.
You're educating us.
Yes. Yes. So that I'm getting to a point here. So the Thrill in Manila was there, which I believe was in 1975. I'm not a boxing aficionado. Still, you know, basically the iconic thing that Manila is known for from a sporting. But my point is that in that arena, Arenada Coliseum, there are two banners signifying events that took place there. One, as you may expect, and I'd like to thank a gentleman who works for a TV station here called One Sports, who told me this. One signifies the Thrill in Manila. The second is when Kobe Bryant held a clinic there.
Wow. That's interesting.
So not a game, a practice, not a game. And there has been NBA exhibition games held here. And, you know, I don't know. There's probably been a Pacquiao fight there. I don't know for sure, but as my guess is there has been. But anyway, they love Kobe here so much. Mm-hmm. And so the city is just really buzzing. There's a lot of signage all around. And so it's not just here in Manila. There's also games being played in Okinawa and Jakarta, Indonesia, where the first rounds will be played and everybody will come here to Manila. But we'll talk about the World Cup in just a minute. But that's what I just want to let you know. But another thing, when I come to people and when people come up to me here in Manila, which has been happening a lot. And by the way, we have a lot of podcast listeners. And several people have said, are your two friends here from the podcast? And I said, who are they? I don't have any friends on this podcast, but you guys are, you know, you guys would be mobbed in the streets if you were here. But everybody who's come up to me and mentioned the podcast, I appreciate it. I think Jackson told me that we do draw quite a bit of traffic from the Philippines, but they asked me, whether I'm enjoying Manila. And then they asked me whether Dame Lillard is going to get traded to the Heat. And then they asked me about what's going on with James Harden. They're very educated and the Filipinos are very online, very, very on social media. They are very well aware. There's nothing I can tell them that they're not on top of and they don't know already more. So they, I think, knew about your story, Bontemps, before I knew about it, that Harden, or at least the Players Association, is protesting the fine. So what you wrote that news story, what can you tell us about the fine and the protest? Maybe you'll be educating me since I'm 10,000 miles away or something.
So this really goes back to the same investigation, or the not the same, the investigation the NBA did into the comments Aaron Goodwin made, Damian Lillard's agent, in the wake of his trade request to the Blazers about failing to live up to the things governing the player contract, right? The NBA has clearly made a very concerted effort this summer to try to make sure they are not setting a precedent where a guy can say, I'm not going to show up and play. They're very concerned, clearly, that they're going to allow for the precedent to happen where a player is going to not show up, try to force their way out of town, and then get out of town. We saw how hard a couple of years ago the league fought back in the Ben Simmons situation. There was pretty unanimous support behind the Sixers during that, you know, when the Sixers were fining Ben Simmons for staying away from the team. They were not going to just forgive the fines that he accrued for not being around. Obviously, there was some settlement later. It's never been disclosed exactly how much money Simmons got, but it wasn't, hey, we're going to give you all the money back and everything's going to be good. And I think that's really how this came down. I frankly am not sure the NBA is going to win when this goes to an arbitrator. I think they have kind of a difficult case, in my opinion, because you could say what James Harden did didn't help his situation in terms of trying to get out of town. But I don't think he's said, I'm not showing up to camp. I don't think he's said, I'm not going to play. I don't think he just says he doesn't want to deal with Daryl Morey. So fining him for that, you know, maybe they'll win in the arbitration case. Maybe they won't. But I thought it was kind of an interesting move for them to do that. We'll see what happens with the arbitrator. But I think it's very clear whether they win or not, that's what their concern is that they do not, in both the Dame situation and this one, they don't want to create an environment where it's okay for players to say, I'm not going to play. I'm not going to show up. Get me out of here or else. And then have that become an actionable weaponized threat.
Yeah.
And that's what their push has been also.
Yeah. They're trying to get Al Capone on tax evasion here. Right.
That's exactly right.
And that, I really think that's all what this is about is suddenly Adam Silver wants to get tough. You didn't do anything when James Harden's partying in the middle of a frigging pandemic during training camp, hanging out with the little baby in Atlanta and Las Vegas. You know, working out with those personal trainers who were so entertaining. You didn't do anything when he blatantly quit on the Nets and forced a trade then. Now you want to get tough? And he did not technically publicly request a trade. And this is where I do think that Harden is going to have a case to push back against the fine here. Number one, he's not being fined for saying Daryl Morey was a liar. If you're going to fine people for saying Daryl Morey's a liar, you're going to have to go back and retroactively fine Chris Paul for saying Daryl Morey told me he wouldn't trade me to Oklahoma City. And boy, here I am with a Thunder uniform on, you know, and like you're going to go, you have to go back through time and there'll be a lot of charitable donations made. You can't fine a guy for calling somebody who lied to him a liar. The question is, I will never be a part of an organization, you know, whatever the quote was that Daryl Morey's with. Again, is that a trade request? If I'm defending James Harden, I'm saying, hey, that's James is saying fire Daryl Morey. You're gonna fine him for that? And but then you get into this, is it conduct detrimental? Like there's a lot of leeway here, but again, I just feel like this.
Well,
is
it's definitely conduct detrimental.
That's
a team decision. That's not a league decision.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure it is. I mean, I don't know if it's conduct detrimental. I mean, we broke the story that the trade discussions were off. He got asked about it, and he was mad at Daryl Morey. Now,
hold on. He did not get asked about it. He was at a freaking Adidas promotional.
He was doing media. My understanding was he was doing media at the end of it, and he got asked a question, and that was his response to the question. That was what I was told. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
You might be right. I think he was.
I think he was taking questions. I don't know if they were, it was from media. Well, I'm not sure that.
Whatever the situation. I'm not trying to say it was a wise move, even in, like we've talked about. This doesn't help him getting traded. It doesn't advance his cause. I also just looking at it, it's hard for me to, I think the arbitrator, if I'm the arbitrator looking at this, I think I'm siding with the PA and with James Harden, because I don't really know what, to your point, even if you want to say it is conduct detrimental, which I don't think it is, certainly from a league standpoint, it would have to be from a team standpoint, and right. The NBA right. is not the team.
I don't want to get too much into the legalese of this, the difference between the team finding him and the league finding him, but I can certainly understand why the team would think it's conduct detrimental. But from the release that the NBA put out, which I think is important, the NBA, I think, from a public relations standpoint, wanted to get it qualified what James Harden was accusing Daryl Morey of lying about. And that seemed to me to be the point of this press release. And if they have to quietly not take the $100,000 later, I think that's not their biggest concern, even though they're trying to set a precedent. I think their biggest concern is what they put in this press release, which I will read to you in a second. And by the way, the league said that they had interviewed James Harden to acquire this information. The league's investigation, this is from the press release, which included an interview of Harden, confirmed that these comments referenced Harden's belief that the 76ers would not accommodate his request to be traded. In other words, this had nothing to do with the contract that he was, you know, may or may not have discussed a year ago. This was not, in reference to any sort of quid pro quo. They wanted it on the record. Oh, yeah. That the him being called a liar was about this.
No, just and, to be totally clear, when the 76ers were blatantly tampering with PJ Tucker and Daniel House, which was possible because James Harden was taking less money, in no way, shape, or form did Daryl Morey and James Harden have any kind of understanding about a future contract. Not at all. No, sir.
Well, here's what Daryl Morey would say if he was called the witness stand, is my guess. But I am, as they say in the show Billions, I am not uncertain. What Daryl Morey, I believe, would say is that there have been many times in his career where he has made an agreement to give a player a contract, and he's followed through on that. The most significant one being when Chris Paul, when he came to the Rockets and he picked up his option in his contract so that he could be traded from the Clippers to the Rockets. And then he became a free agent and was given a 5-year max, which I believe Tillman Fertitta, who bought the team in the meantime, please correct me if I'm wrong, McMahon, but I think Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, said something like, "This is one of the worst contracts he'd ever seen," or something like that.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
He said it was the worst contract that he had ever seen in business or sports.
Okay.
That was that. So, but that was, he picked up the option. Tillman bought the team for that year. The Rockets had the most wins in the NBA. We're up 3-2. That's the hamstring away. Chris Paul got hurt. The next year, things went a little bit sideways. CP3 wasn't nearly as good. Him and Harden were butting heads. And after the next year, it had become the worst contract in business or sports.
I understand. The point is that he gave him the 5-year max. And
it was a 4-year deal.
Okay. Anyway, the point, I think, is that Daryl will stand on following through with promises he's made on contracts.
Sure, you followed through on your promise after you guys had the most wins in the NBA and Chris Paul was an all-NBA player.
Reasonable. This is going down a side road. This also goes back to where Damian Lillard situation too. And if you remember, we had a story a few weeks ago about the investigation the league did into the Aaron Goodwin comments after the trade request, and that investigation was sort of along the same lines. Where obviously it's a little different track because this is about trying to make sure there's not agreements ahead of time. That was about trying to make sure that Damian Lillard was not actively telling teams, or his agent was not actively telling teams, don't trade me here. Now, in that one, the league pretty much said Aaron Goodwin was telling half-truths to the league in their investigation that he was doing that, which he was basically saying that on the record. So, yeah, I would say he was doing that. But
he didn't say it on the record, though. But
well, he practically did. I mean, anyway. The point is,
you're right. I'm not arguing that.
The point is, yeah, the point is this is what this whole summer has been about in both of these situations. Two guys that in Dame's situation, as we talked about last week, there's only one team really actively interested. James Harden's situation, really nobody is actively interested on the one side. And on the other side, the league being very panicky about setting precedents with star players being able to push their way around. Now,
setting precedents, they're trying to reverse precedents. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, now listen, I agree with that. I mean, the funny thing about this is that this is happening now to me. Like, this has been going on for years and they've decided this summer to do it.
Oh, but that's been the theme. We're taking a stand.
But that's been the
way out of Houston. You can force your way out of Brooklyn, but when you do it to the 76ers, we're taking a stand.
Well, and that's been the funny thing about it is they've done it in these two situations where there isn't a lot of, you know, a lot of widespread interest in either guy. That's where, like, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason they decided to do it now. That's why.
Well,
this
it's a new CBA. I guess they could be like, well, in this new CBA, we're going to enforce it. They could be taking that stance.
I guess
Adam Silver's trying to steal Walker Kessler's nickname. He's a sheriff, baby. He is this.
We gotta get our guy Wob with the sheriff's hat.
Yeah, get the man a hat badge and a little six shooter. Adam Silver, he ain't playing. He came. Hey, he got tough with John Morant. Now he's gonna clean up all these trades.
Well, I will say this: the union put out a statement when Ja was suspended, indicating that they were considering potentially taking that to arbitration. To my knowledge, I don't think they announced that they have.
Well, and then Zach one, was like, it's appropriate. Like, sheesh. Right. Grizzlies thought it was A-okay.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like the union's biggest issue there was the ambiguity about how many games it would be. And my guess is it's been relayed to be clear, this is just a guess. I think it's been relayed to them that unless something goes especially haywire, this will be a 25 game.
Well, there was like a suspension. A vague reference to a process that he may have to do to get it back. And it was undefined. And so I think that's what the union was.
I also believe their 26th game of the season is a nationally televised game against his high school buddy, Zion Williamson and the Pelicans, I believe. So
it's interesting that you bring that up because I was talking to Tyrese Halliburton today. And I'm not saying that Tyrese has this right, but Tyrese is basically been on national TV like two or three times in his career.
Probably once a season.
Yeah. And he has never been on TNT.
Wow.
He does have a TNT game, which I'm stealing from myself because I was going to write about this later, but it literally had this conversation with him today. And I go, what day is it? And he was like, January 30th. He knew instantaneously. January 30th.
It's their one national TV game. It's not hard to find.
And then I go, oh my gosh. And he's like, oh no, the only reason I know is because it's my girlfriend's birthday. And you know, I just
sure, buddy. You know how I know I just scrolled through the Pacers schedule. There's one game with the national TV, the three letters on it, TNT. Pacers at Celtics, Tuesday, January 30th. I'll probably be at the game.
He knew it immediately. But he's like, well, maybe, you know, he says, I think we're playing Ja in his return game, so maybe that'll get picked up on TV. I don't know. He said that maybe that's wrong.
There is another potential return game for Ja. It would be in Oklahoma City the night before that TNT game against Zion. And the only way that would happen is if the Grizzlies go to the finals of the in-season tournament, which is also known as the night after our live show in Las Vegas.
I don't know about that. I have not committed to anything like that. There's different investigations going on that as well.
You're interrupting my flow and also putting yourself at risk of a $100,000 fine.
That would be an interesting question of whether that game actually counts, though. Did you ask?
I did. I checked with the league. I did. Because also, thanks for watching NBA Today last week. I said this on NBA Today. No, I did check with the league. Although that game is not a regular season game. It's the one part of the in-season tournament that does not count on the regular season record. I did
check for that stuff.
Yeah, I did check with the league. I mean, obviously, it's a slim chance that the Grizzlies get to the finals of that. But if they do, that would count toward the 25 on the suspension.
Is there any circumstance in which they could play the Pacers? Because Tyrese is under the impression that he's...
No, he had it, but he was off by a game. So they play the Thunder, and then they play the Grizzlies or the Pelicans on national TV, and then they play the Pacers on Thursday.
Okay,
I am going to have to deliver the news.
He'll be playing against Ja. Yeah, probably.
Tyrese is like, well, you know, they said there were some conditions.
history on conditions ain't so great, so it might be delayed again.
Oh, man. You know, one of the things that's been terrific on this trip is to get to know some of the families. And Tyrese's dad, who was a wonderful man, has made the point that maybe we should squeeze a little bit more Tyrese Halliburton coverage into the Hoop Collective.
Listen, hold on. Hey, sir.
This is the wrong, it's the wrong place. You should not listen to the podcast if you're saying that.
No, how many times did Bon Timps and I absolutely crushed the Kings for that trade? And then
that's what I'm saying.
Damn three seed in the Western Conference. We've had to eat crow because we were so high on Tyrese Halliburton. Not that we were wrong about him, just the trade from the Kings.
Yes. Perspective. This has been the biggest Tyrese Halliburton place on the internet, just about.
Tyrese, as I said to Tyrese today, as we were good-naturedly talking about his lack of national television, just to be clear, I do believe he just signed a contract of over $200
million. Yeah.
And well, so it all worked out in the end.
If he's nice enough to the media, it could be the full 260.
His niceness to the media ain't the issue. Trust me.
By the way, guys, one of the most – this team is so accommodating. I am having an absolute blast covering this team. What a great group of guys. And granted, they haven't lost. It's all been, you know, Charm City going on here. And this team, we'll talk about it in a minute when we get done with Harden. But anyway.
Hold on. Have you gotten any? Jalen Brunson is a very nice dude. Have you gotten any good quotes?
Yeah. No.
Because he is the most essentially boring. His dad sat, when I sat down with his dad during the playoffs when he was lighting the Jazz on fire, and his dad gave me all the great stuff about ain't no discount. You know, basically setting up like, hey, unless the Mavericks throw a huge bag, he's gone. The first thing his dad said was, Jalen's born as beep. He's like, he didn't get that from me. That's all Jay Wright. But yeah, Brunson is intentionally, you know, he's accommodating, but he's as boring as could be.
Well, you know, the USA Basketball is a well-run organization. They know what they're doing. And today was the press conference, the pre-tournament press conference, and every player brought their head coach and brought one of their players. And Team USA brought Jalen Brunson to just make sure that there would be nothing controversial.
On the podium,
and he's also the undisputed leader of the squad.
I don't know. He was undisputably waving a towel at when it was crunch time against Germany.
No, he's not going to have a problem if he's not playing sometime. No, I know, but that's part of why I think he's the undisputed leader of the squad. If they go with Tyrese down the stretch of a game, you've known him for a long time, McMahon. It's not like he's going to sit there and complain. He'll be just as happy if they win.
Jalen Brunson, and honestly, as much as the Mavs missed his ability to create and all those other kind of things, Jalen Brunson is one of the best culture guys, one of the best locker room guys in the league.
There's no question. No coincidence will happen with the Knicks at the same time.
By the way, he said as much today. He said that when you're on a team like this, sometimes you're going to be waving the towel and sometimes you're going to be leading the charge. You know, he acknowledges that. But you're right. Tyrese Halliburton did finish the game against Germany, which was a terrific game that was played Sunday night in Abu Dhabi.
Hey, Tyrese Halliburton is twice as big as Jalen Brunson's. Remember when everybody thought Brunson was overpaid?
Maybe even more than twice as big, depending on if he hits the incentives. But anyway, just to put a bow on this Harden thing, the way this is now, Harden could have made this, he could have raised here.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what discussion was made in his camp about doing it. He could have raised by not just saying that the quote unquote liar thing was about trading him. Mm-hmm. He elected not to do that. So I don't want to say he folded, but the temperature was turned down on this. And so I don't want to make an assumption, but Bontemps, you have, and I've agreed with you, but you've said that, you know, you, the best place for Harden is at this point is back in Philly. And while I'm sure the hard feelings are still there, Harden taking this stance with the league, I think was a move towards calming it down a little bit. But I guess it's only as calm as till his next public statements. But it, the way this was played out and whether it was a nice, tidy little release done, it makes me think that there may be some movement back toward the middle ground.
Look,
because I think that's where we're going to be at the end of this.
Look, as we talked about the other day, he can't get more years. He can't get more dollars, and no one wants to trade for him. So this has,
they want to trade for him. They just don't want to pay.
They don't. We're not going to go through this.
Nobody
again.
Wants to give up value for him.
Nobody's trying to trade for him. They'll take him for nothing, but that's not wanting him.
Right. Well, I just don't want to make it sound like nobody wants to trade for him. Three teams, nobody, I think, talked to. Well,
again, they had a discussion with him and said, "Hey, we'll take him for free. We'll take it for expiring contracts or something like that." There was no, we're going to give you real value in a trade. Not like when he got traded from Brooklyn.
I'm just trying to protect on aggregation. That's all.
Well, it's not, we're not worried about aggregation. At the end of the day, the situation is very simple.
I'm always worried about it, for the record. Well, clearly. You can aggregate that.
James Harden has one path to getting paid next summer, in my opinion, which is to show up with the Sixers and play well for a team that, if he shows up and plays well, has a chance to potentially win the East. That, as you've talked about before, this team was not far away last year, and they could be really good. Top of the East has had some defections and some moving around of parts, and we'll see what happens with Miami. Like, they could be right there if he decides to show up and just play for the year and see where things go. And as we all know, and as we've talked about ad nauseum, very unclear if that's going to happen. Very possibly could be a complete zoo when training camp starts, and this thing could go sideways. But that, to me, there's no other real option here. It's not like, oh, hey, maybe he could get traded to X, Y, or Z. That, it's just, I don't see any of that happening. What does he want to do?
And the problem, one of many problems from James Harden's perspective, is, you know, clearly the 76ers have not shown a willingness to give him the kind of contract that he wants, right? And so, is that going to change if he plays well this year and he's a year older? And I don't know. I obviously they doubt it. And so, you know, I think if you're in James Harden's camp, you can make the argument, no, his chance to get paid is to get traded to a team that is interested in having his bird rights. So, you know, that's where you get back to the whole thing. But hey, the reality,
but if he shows up, but if he shows up and plays well for the next few months, maybe something changes. Maybe, well, there's a trade in January that's not available today. The point is, there's nothing available today.
Maybe. And then, and the other thing is, you know, maybe there's a situation where the Sixers are using his bird rights in a sign and trade. Who knows? But I do agree with you that if James pulls a season-long, what do the Young Bucks call it? Quiet quit. Then it's going to be really hard for him to get paid. Really hard for him to get the kind of contract that he's looking for in his mid 30s, having quit on three teams.
Right. Okay. To be continued. Before we switch over and take a look at the World Cup, Mr. Bontemps, I think you might have trivia.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. The NFL schedule drops this week, and you can be there to catch all the action live and in person with Vivid Seats. Experience every touchdown, every tackle, every eye-popping play of your favorite team. And to kick it off, Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN, is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
And now, to present today's trivia question, the whiz of the quiz, Tim Bontemps.
I do have trivia. I have some World Cup trivia. It's a good crossover to our World Cup conversation. In this year's World Cup, there is one player playing who has a chance to become the first player in the history of the World Cup to win 3 gold medals in the competition.
Okay.
Who is it?
Is it an NBA player?
Somebody who has played in the NBA. It's not somebody you've never heard of.
Rudy Fernandez, Spain.
Rudy Fernandez is the answer.
Rudy Fernandez, who once quiet quit on
now, that. Now, there's two other parts of this also that are related. So Rudy Fernandez, when he plays in this World Cup, is going to become one of a dozen players to have played in 5 World Cups. I'm not going to ask you to name the dozen because most of them haven't played in the NBA. Yeah. 3 of them have played in the NBA. All in this era that we've covered.
Luis Scola.
That's one of them.
Oscar Schmidt didn't play in the NBA, but I guarantee he's on that list.
Yeah, I don't think he did not play in 5 World Cups.
Damn it. I was trying to show off my worldliness.
As I said, they're the other two guys. It's all in the era we have covered the league. They're not. This isn't somebody from 30 years ago.
Is Luis Scola the lone Argentinian on that list?
Yes.
Okay. World Cup. Dirk's not one of them, is he?
Nope.
I don't think so.
I'm trying to think. Definitely not an American, correct?
Definitely not an American. No.
Okay. Prominent NBA players, these other two?
Barely.
Not Pau, is it?
Not Pau. But both won NBA titles.
Spaniard or no?
Nope.
Okay. European?
Nope.
Not a European. Okay.
Leandro Barbosa.
That's one of them.
Ooh, good one. Good one.
I'm going to retire that I got 2 of these. I'm going to retire.
You should get the other one now.
A Brazilian?
Yes, Barrichello.
Anderson Barrichello
didn't win a title. He didn't win a title, I don't think.
Barbosa did.
Oh, right. They both played in the finals. Barrichello didn't win the title, but Barrichello was the other one.
All right. Hey, that was pretty quick.
This is the other one I was going to ask. Because this surprised me when I was looking at it. So the U.S. has won 12 medals in this tournament. The former Yugoslavia won 10, not surprisingly. Probably would have 12 or 13 if they'd stayed together. Serbia's
Luka Doncic
won,
coming
won.
Off of screen and rolls from
Jokic.
Nikola Jokic.
Pretty good. Anyway, they won 10. The former Soviet Union's won 8. And then Brazil has the most medals after that with 6, which I would have never guessed.
Well, Oscar Schmidt.
Brazil is a sneaky contender.
I mean, obviously Oscar Schmidt. I just wouldn't have thought of it without looking at it. No other country has won more, including Spain, has won more than 2 medals in the whole tournament other than those 4. And Oscar Schmidt, obviously, is the all-time leading scorer in the tournament.
Brazil is a sneaky contender if Canada or the U.S. stubs their toe to get an Olympic bid out of this. Brazil looked good in the pre-tournament qualifier, including beating Australia in the pre-tournament qualifiers.
Been a lot of strange results in the run-up to this tournament. A lot of interesting upset.
That's true.
Games. I think it could be a pretty interesting tournament from that standpoint.
I'll give you a trivia question that caught me by surprise today. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is playing in this event. Who is he playing for? Remember the former Brooklyn Nets number 1 draft pick?
I know the answer, so I will not say. We'll let McMahon guess.
Go ahead and pull up the number of teams. I'll give you unlimited guesses. It might take you 12.
Okay. I don't know that many. I don't know 12 countries, so.
He's playing for the country of Jordan.
Huh. Just a naturalized citizen, or is there like...
I don't know. I think it was announced last week. It caught me by surprise.
That's interesting. Well, I certainly would not have guessed that one.
They will be playing the Americans. It's the Americans' third game in their pool is against Jordan. The coach was up there today, and very sad to report that Jordan is not sponsored by Jordan.
Yeah, that
seemed
like a no-brainer.
But they still says Jordan on their shirts. I wish I could remember the guy's name. I'm embarrassing myself now, but the guy that they had, the player that they had up there is 39 years old playing in his last World Cup. He's played in his
third. Just giving a list of NBA players here. I'm surprised Brazil's only got 1. Raul Neto.
Yes. Has Raul Neto signed with anybody? Is he?
They list him on the NBA site. Lists him on the Cavaliers.
That's where he was last year.
Not a Cav anymore.
I don't think he re-signed anywhere. Yeah. No.
They're counting them.
Yeah, there's some apparently some of the former NBAers who are on there. Bruno Caboclo, is that pronounced?
Caboclo.
2 years away from being.
No, it's 4 years away from being 4 years away, and it's been about 4 years from 4 years. So he's hooping.
and Cristiano Felicio, former Bulls great. Anyway, so the Americans are getting along tremendously. The coaching staff is overjoyed with the preparation and the way the team is getting along. They've started the same lineup in all five exhibition games. I don't think maybe this is – I don't think that happened with the 92 team. Mm. They had very good tests that they passed. Knock on wood, nobody's hurt. They are in just a terrific headspace. Steve Kerr is having the time of his life. It's been terrific. So they open the World Cup on Saturday. It's at 8:40 in the morning Eastern time on ESPN2. They play New Zealand in the first game. New Zealand has no NBA players, nor any players I think that have been in the NBA, unless there's a guy on here that like had a two-way that I didn't know about.
There
I
don't an NBA think there's from been New Zealand, but Steve Adams is not covering from his knee.
He hasn't played for them in years. I don't know if he's even played with them since he's been in the NBA. So today at the press conference, Steve Kerr got asked about New Zealand, and he gave an answer like a kid who was supposed to do a book report. He hadn't done the reading. I'm not saying he didn't. I mean, he was just like, well, you know, Mark Few, coach from Gonzaga, is one of the assistants. Mark Few is, you know, he's got the scout for that. He's giving us really good intel on them. And I'm going to spend the next couple days zeroing more in on them. And, well, you know,
he should have at least said, you know, but one thing I know, well coached, play hard, discipline. Like, you got to at least throw out like the, you know, the generic. Okay,
I'm going to read the exact quotes from Steve Kerr, who obviously is a Hall of Fame coach. We have great respect for them. They're very well coached. They play really hard. They make you guard difficult actions, and they have hard cuts for quick shots. You have to be really well prepared. And so that's the plan. And I'm going to spend the next couple of days zeroing in on them.
Okay, good. He did hit all the boilerplate, you know.
Yeah. Things. I wish somebody would follow up and said, "Steve, can you name?"
I'm guessing that they play hard.
Yeah, I mean, as is probably appropriate, the USA has been concentrating on themselves, and they when he did this interview, they had two more practices and a shoot around between now and the game. So I'm not. They probably hadn't really started putting it in yet. that's the situation. And as soon as Giannis, the tough, quote unquote, tough game. And, you know, you never take anything for granted in FIBA play. I can remember the last time that the World Cup happened, which was in China in 2019. They played Turkey in the pool play. And Ersan Ilyasova, who was in his last vestiges of his NBA career, was killing the Americans on the inside as like a post-up player, which he was a stretch four in his NBA career. And he was posting up and killing the U.S. interior. So you never want to make an assumption. But as soon as Giannis, I mean, I think the only NBA player that they're going to encounter in this first round, like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is a former NBA player, but I think the only NBA player.
There's one in their group and it's Antetokounmpo.
I think it's Giannis. I think it's Thanasis Antetokounmpo. There's obviously, you know, in the opening game on Friday, France plays Canada, and that's each team. The Canadians have 9 NBA players, and the French have like five.
Yeah, four. They've got four now. They've got Gobert, Fournier, Batum, and Neely Akina. But then, like, Nando DiColo is an NBA caliber player. Obviously, he played in the league.
Neely Akina is injured. So I'm not sure he's going to play.
So they've got, I forgot about that.
No, I think
he's right. He is not playing.
Okay.
So anyway, the U.S. has a very manageable group. The hardest team on their sort of side of the bracket for the first two rounds is Italy, who does not have Paolo Banchero, Mm-hmm. And the fight, Fontecchio is on the roster. I'm not sure if I'm gonna check.
Are we sure the Dominican Republic's not the toughest team on their side of the bracket?
Well, that is true. I mean, the Dominican is a team. So basically, here's the thing: the Philippines is dreaming of advancing out of pool play, and to do it, they're going to have to beat the Dominican Republic, because the other team in that group is Italy, and Italy, I would think, has a.
I don't know. I could see a world where they beat this Italian team.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. Carl Towns could do anything. I'm sorry. You mean the Philippines?
Yeah. I mean, this Italian team is not an overwhelming team at this point.
Jordan Clarkson can score like 40 in any game for the Philippines.
Yeah. I mean, he's better than any player on the Italian team.
He's definitely
the best
player in that, that pool.
One of the most important games in the first round is the Philippines against the Dominican Republic, because for the Philippines to have any chance to advance, they have to win that game. And it is not an accident that that was the game that was selected to be played in front of 55,000 crazy Filipinos. By the way,
are you going to that game?
No, it is a really hard place to get to from where I'm at, and the traffic. And I'm not going to be one of these guys who complains about their situation. The traffic in Manila is, I mean, I'm just looking at it smiling from the back seat. It's just, I don't even know what to make of it. It's,
believe you're not going,
absolutely, it's gonna be wild. Such an
awesome atmosphere.
I know, but it's literally like, could be like 3 hours to get there and back.
Okay, but 55,000 people, you could like set up shop, be a man of the people. I know.
Honestly, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to watch the Canada France game online. That's what I'm going to do. You know, to put it in perspective, they were thinking of having the championship game at this stadium, which is way up north outside the city of Manila. And it was scheduled that way. And they just came to their senses and canceled it a few months ago. We're like, yeah, we just can't do it. It'll save people 3 days.
So the other arena is like a little, just like a walk through the mall for you?
No, I mean, listen, man, getting around the city is, there's a lot going on. I'll just leave it at that.
By the way, just to circle back, this Italian team has three players on it who've played in the NBA. And one of them is Nicolò Melli, who was a stretch four who had a cup of coffee. One's Luigi Datome, who was a stretch four who had a cup of coffee. And the other one is Simone Fontecchio, who is currently playing for the Jazz and is like their 12th guy. So
did Nico Mannion play in the NBA? The guy from Arizona?
He had a cup of coffee with the Warriors, too.
Well, I was going to say that Danilo Gallinari, he's coming back from the ACL. Yeah. So he's not playing.
Yeah, so I think the Philippines and the Dominican could both finish ahead of them potentially. But I mean, obviously that's a huge game on a lot of fronts, but I think the Philippines is a live team to get out of that group. Like Tim said, Jordan Clarkson could score 40 in every game.
Yes, and you know, seriously, Jordan Clarkson is already very popular here. By the way, I went to the NBA store in that Mall of Asia. They have an NBA store, and it didn't just get here. It's been here for a while. They have some absolutely awesome stuff in there. They've got Jerry West Laker jerseys. I mean, they've got some, wow, they've got some great stuff in there. But anyway, they have a Jordan Clarkson jerseys for sale in there.
Oh, yeah.
And if Jordan Clarkson leads the Filipinos out of pool play, or even if he just leads them to a win in front of 55,000 people, I mean, he's already a hero here. He could run for office in this country.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
just out of curiosity. And Jalen Green is was Team USA select, so he won't ever be with the Philippines. But do they have Jalen Green stuff there?
I have not seen anything. By the way, just Team USA select doesn't mean I think you can still play.
Oh, you definitely can. He's not that's not any actual thing. It just means the practice.
Well, I'm sure he has been. I'm sure he's been in the USA program at the younger levels, though.
Yeah, but until you play for the senior team, it doesn't matter.
Sure. Also, FIBA is willing to look the other way and let people in for places.
If Jalen Green wants to play for the Philippines, he'll be able to play for the Philippines.
Okay. Well, It's interesting they don't have Jalen Green stuff, or maybe they do. You just didn't see it because those are
maybe there was, but I didn't see it. But I didn't look at every
guys in the NBA that are of Filipino descent.
What is certainly true about this first game is that the Philippines beats the Dominican, and they then beat Angola as they should. They will definitely be in the knockout round, which would obviously be a pretty massive thing. So
the knockout round, they would be in the second round.
Right. Advancing out of group play.
Angola. Yeah. What do you think of when you think of Angola?
From what I am told, their team is down from where it has been in years past.
Well, I think of Charles Barkley putting his elbow in some poor guy's sternum during the 92 Olympics.
That is trite. It was a favorite. Didn't they like have kind of a game that they didn't play that great? And they were like, who we played next? Angola. And they say, wherever it is, they're in trouble or whatever it was. I don't remember exactly.
Bruno Fernando is on Angola.
Oh, okay.
At least according to the FIBA website.
That's interesting.
Hawk Center.
Yeah, there's when you look at these teams, there's always surprises. Oh my gosh, how is that guy play for that team? But so that'll be a huge deal in this first round. Also, the Australians are playing the Japanese in Japan. Rui Hachimura elected not to play for Japan. And actually, Yuta Watanabe, who is playing for Japan, turned his ankle about 10 days ago or so. And he's going to play, but he's not 100%, which is a setback for Japan. And I think, Watanabe gave an interview and it was translated, so I don't 100% know if it's exactly correct. But I think he indicated if the Japanese don't qualify for the Paris Olympics, that he may retire.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, even if that's just a 10-minute low-impact class, they have those too. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. So there's some interesting first round games, but the Australians are playing the Japanese in Japan. Like I mentioned, it's in Okinawa. So home field advantage for the Japanese there. So it's a, we should have some interesting stuff. I think, it's kind of going to be hard to see any drama from Team USA for the first 10 days. If there is drama, then that'll really be a story. One of the things that I can tell you that has happened with this team, when the team started, the coaching staff thought that Anthony Edwards would be like a super sub, would be like Dwayne Wade was in 2008, who very famously led the team in scoring. Because Kobe was on the team, he came off the bench, led the team in scoring. And in the first scrimmage, which you saw some of and wrote about, Bontemps, Anthony Edwards was on the second team. And famously the second team, Jimmy Butler, the first team, beat them. And in the second scrimmage, Anthony Edwards was on the first team and never looked back. Well, he was talking today about how Steve Kerr came to him before the tournament start, before training camp started, and broached this idea of being a sixth man. I mean, what do you think about that? And he said, that's what Dwayne Wade did back in 2008, when Kobe was on the team. And Ant, in total Ant fashion, said, I was like, okay, that's cool. I don't see Kobe. I don't think we got a Kobe.
That's a fair point.
Which Ant has praised his team upside. He was not taking a shot at anybody. I just think it's a statement of fact.
I don't see a perennial All NBA.
I thought
champion on this roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a strange thing to even broach from the beginning. To be candid, I mean, I wrote about it going into camp. They needed Anthony Edwards to become the guy on this team to win the gold medal, in my opinion. Maybe it would have broke differently with the way everybody's bailed. We've had a lot of guys bail on this tournament over the past month, so the field's not as strong as it potentially could have been. But, you know, I think we've seen over the last month, Anthony Edwards has begun an ascent. And certainly, when you look at this team, he gives them a dimension and an element that they just don't have otherwise.
You know, maybe there is some strategy here from Steve Kerr. Perhaps he's just practicing trying to talk a guy with a massive into a bench role. So,
you know what? I'm pretty sure Anthony Edwards would start for the Warriors, too. I think they fit him into the starting five.
I'm just saying that's the only – that would make sense. Might be
play the long game possible. A little bit. Work on a sketch. I would say that so Austin Reaves and Tyrese Halliburton have looked absolutely terrific coming off the bench. And one of the reasons that's the case is because they defend, number one. And number two, they move the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, Anthony Edwards pretty much.
Those guys are Steve Kerr players.
Right. You know, Jalen Brunson sometimes stops it, although he wants to play. You know, the other player that I think has been, that I thought was going to be excellent and still might be, but has just been okay so far, has been Brandon Ingram, who has been starting at four. And I have a huge high. I'm a big believer in Brandon Ingram. He really super impressed me in the playoff series, Pelicans Suns a couple of years ago. I've talked about this before. He is not, he shot the ball okay, but he's not made an impact. He did have a bad game against Germany. I think he was 1-6 in that game, but his overall numbers are okay. But he just, you know, I think he's only averaging 6 or 7 points.
Well, he's not, a catch and shoot kind of guy. You know, he is a guy who's used to having the ball in his hand. So I'm sure there's a pretty significant kind of adjustment for him.
He's also not going to be their guy down the
Brandon Ingram, because that's what I asked him, and he goes, "Well, you know, I'm used to having the ball in my hands."
Oh,
he
said,
yeah, exactly. I mean,
I watch basketball.
and you go down the list of guys on this team. There's several guys that are going to have the ball ahead of him. It's just he's just not as good as several of the guys on this team, led by Anthony Edwards. You go through the last few minutes of the game, Anthony Edwards is going to have the ball.
Yeah,
you
know, in that starting line,
or Jalen Brunson, or Tyrese Halliburton, or whoever.
Well, just in the starting lineup, like Ingram's the clear-cut third option, right? It's Ant, Brunson, Ingram. Mm-hmm. And then we honestly, I'm not going to argue Ingram or Bridges over Ingram, but, you know. And Brunson is certainly not a selfish player. I mean, he's the opposite of that, but he is a dribbler. You know, he's
sort of a Chris Paul mold of a point guard.
Not really, because he's more of a scorer. He's more of a scorer.
No, but I mean, like, to your point, like, orchestrating the offense with the ball, he's not getting off.
Player. Now, and he's more than capable of playing off the ball as well. Obviously, the guy played with Luka Doncic, and you know, when he had the ball in his hands then, it was usually last 5 seconds of the shot clock. Luka wasn't able to create something. But when he's running the point and it's his show to run, you know, he does tend to pound the dribble.
Yeah, that's what I meant Chris Paul-wise. They obviously aren't the same kind of player. But both of them are going to, you know, he's going to orchestrate, not like get off it. And I mean, he can get off it, but when you said when he is running the show with the ball, that tends to be how he plays.
And Ant is not that he's incapable of passing, but when Ant has the ball, he's usually going to get a shot up.
And I think that's what they've advised him he should do. And I think he's understanding
that. It's what they need him to do in those spots.
And, you know, Jalen Brunson has had halves where he scored like almost 20 points. I think he had like an 18 or 17 point half. And he's also had halves where he didn't score at all. So he kind of has been reading the game and he's been doing a good job of it. You know, their weakness is going to be rebounding, and they're going to run into a team, or, you know, one of the things they could end up seeing Lithuania in the second round.
Is Sabonis playing?
Sabonis is not playing, but Jonas Valanciunas is.
I knew JV was. I didn't know if they both were.
One thing Valanciunas can do is eat glass. And I'm sure he's gotten a lot of rebounds over Jaren Jackson Jr. during practices.
Well, drawing fouls too. Like, he gets to the line. Like, you know, that's certainly, you know, we've talked about it with this team. Jaren's foul trouble is going to be, if they get in trouble in the knockout round in particular, it's probably going to be in a game where Jaren plays 18 minutes because he's in foul trouble the whole game. And they got to figure out how to get through the rest of the game when they're already got to be light in the pants rebounding wise. And, you know, we've seen Walker Kessler get a couple cameos here and there, but, you know, we'll see if he ends up having to play a bunch of minutes in a game like that.
Yeah, there was a mildly comical interaction today where there was a Lithuanian journalist who said, Coach Kerr, you're probably going to win a bunch of games here, and Lithuania is probably going to win a bunch of games, and you're probably going to play each other in the second round. What do you think of them? and Kerr kind of just swallowed a smile, was like, our focus is on New Zealand. The Lithuanian guy had Latvia and the U.S. penciled right in like 12 days from now.
I wonder how many Lithuanians will make the trip to the Philippines. Because I did see them in Cologne, and aside from Germany, there are more Lithuanians there, I think, than anybody else. And man, those people are intense and love their basketball. There was a whole lot of tie-dye, a whole lot of drums, a whole lot of booze.
Yeah, there'll be more Lithuanians there than Americans, I feel pretty confident in saying.
Well, there's servicemen and women here. So I don't know how many of them will get tickets to the game. But it's a long way from Lithuania to Manila. I'm going to tell you that. Yeah, right.
I bet there'll be more Lithuanians there than Americans. Would be my bet.
That could be true.
They are, as McMahon said, they might be as basketball obsessed as the Philippines, and they are intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last time I was at a Lithuania game, there was multiple fans who brought drums in. I'm not sure if FIBA is allowing that, but if they do, it'll be a good scene. So it starts on Friday. It runs for 16 days. It's just set up like the FIFA World Cup. You gotta, you know, play three games. The top two teams from the each four advance to the second round, and then eight teams eventually advance out of the second round, and you play round of eight, final four, finals. You lose any of those, you're out the medal.
So not everybody makes it to the Philippines.
That's true.
So my whole thing about how SGA might be the best player to make it to the Philippines stands.
Some people think SGA might be the best player in the tournament. We'll see how Luka plays.
He might be. We haven't talked about the Canadians at all. We probably should talk about them for a second. I mean, it's a huge tournament for them. I mean, they've got a chance to, they've really got a chance to medal, arguably could give the U.S. a game if it gets that far. They're on the difficult side of the bracket with Australia and France and most of the other contenders outside of the U.S. But, it's a really big tournament for them to see if they can make a run and, set themselves up to get in the Olympics next year in Paris when they could have Jamal Murray. They could have Andrew Wiggins, who both aren't playing. Like, Canadians are really coming up, and it's a chance for them to make some noise in a way they haven't a generation since Steve Nash was playing.
Yeah, so Canada is playing in Indonesia, in Jakarta, Indonesia. Like I said, they open with France. They also have Latvia and Lebanon in their group. Latvia was looking like a more menacing opponent when
that was a potentially dangerous game. I think they went undefeated or 11-1 or something in qualifying. And obviously, if Porzingis is there, basically would have been, if they lose to France, you lose that game, you're done.
There's going to be a lot of Oklahoma City firepower there. You got SGA, Lou Dort, Davis Bertans.
Your buddy Dylan Brooks will be there. And Dylan, I was watching some footage of an interview that Dylan gave before or when he got to Manila or something. And he was like, well, if you're on my team, you love me. And if you're not on my team, you hate me.
Well, so, and we've already seen some Memphis-like stuff with them during these run-up games where he has shot the ball god-awful and they've lost games sort of as a result. So
I'm just glad he's back talking to the media again.
Well, you're not there, so he's very happy to talk to the media when also, you're not there.
Also, they haven't lost to the Lakers.
So anyway, so to get from Jakarta to Manila for the round of eight, so Spain is also in Jakarta and with Brazil on that other side of the group. So of Spain, who's the defending world champion, either America or Spain has won every World Cup since 2002. Mm-hmm. And Spain, France, and Canada, one of those three teams is not making the round of eight the way the bracket is drawn. And even if you do make the round of eight, you then have to fly 3 hours, relocate everything, and 24 hours later, then play. So it's real not advantageous. And then the other island in the Pacific Rim where they're playing, like I mentioned, is Okinawa. And over there you have Germany, who looked formidable against the U.S. Obviously, Dennis Schröder is, he's a handful.
That's one of the deeper NBA rosters in the tournament, right? In terms of players?
Who's that?
Yeah, Daniel Tice.
Tice, the Wagners, and Schröder, at least, right? Is there anybody else?
Well, there would have been Maxi Kleber, but Dennis Schröder basically said, get him the hell out of here. He didn't play in Eurobasket. And Maxi said, screw you, I'm out there.
They could have used them.
My German's not that good. But
still, just even those four guys, I mean, that's a pretty damn good FIBA team right there.
Now, Spain is down. Spain did win Eurobasket, but obviously Rubio's been been their leader for years and years. He's not playing because he's dealing with some, mental health issues. And then Lorenzo Brown, I believe is his name. Is that correct, Wendy?
Yeah, NC State guard got injured, not playing.
Right, and he's a EuroLeague star who has been a huge part of Spain's team. So, they're down, but those Hernan Gomez's, baby. They're
Santi Aldama, too.
And Santi Aldama.
Santi Aldama, yes. He played really well against the U.S. When they had the exhibition game 2 weeks ago. But anyway, so in Okinawa, Germany and Australia are in the same group with Finland, which has Lauri Markkanen. And, I don't expect them to advance, but Lauri can score 38 points and,
for sure,
lead an upset. All you got to do is
win one game in these three, you play three games, you have one bad performance in one of these groups of two or three competitive teams. All of a sudden you're in deep trouble.
Right. And then you on the other side there in Okinawa, Slovenia is in a manageable group with Georgia, Venezuela, and Cape Verde. I don't know much about
manageable. Manageable is one way to put that, I think.
Yeah. But the point is that one of Slovenia, who finished fourth in the 2021 Olympics, Slovenia, Australia, and Germany, one of them isn't going to make it to Manila.
That's going to be a really tough go for Slovenia. Obviously, Luka's capable.
Yeah, I was going to say, Slovenia, I'm picking third out of that group.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, so, and again, even if you do advance out of that, then you have to pack everything up and fly 3 hours to get down to Manila. And I don't know, but my guess is that these teams are flying commercial. I don't know.
Unless Luka's foot is ill, I would say that's a safe guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if there's a commercial flight from Okinawa. I literally am staying next to the airport and I haven't seen too many Japanese airlines. So anyway, so that's just
keeping an eye out. You've been scouting the airplanes.
Yeah. Literally, I'm overlooking the runway. And when I'm sitting here, I'm watching the planes land. I don't know every schedule going in and out of Manila, but the point is they have to travel, which is a disadvantage, because even the other Manila, there's another eight teams that are playing just across Manila. those teams who advance. And over there, that's where you have the Philippines and the Dominican Republic and Italy in one. And then in the other group over there, you have China, Serbia, South Sudan, and Puerto Rico. And the U.S. advances to play that group. So, you know, of the teams that the U.S. could face before the semifinals, you know, you're talking about Lithuania, Italy, Dominican, Serbia, who doesn't have Jokic. Bogdan Bogdanovic is the top player on Serbia. So
what is the what's the likelihood of a China versus France game happening?
I'd say extremely unlikely.
Kyle Anderson versus Rudy Gobert would be a fun watch.
That would have been fun. Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah. China is going to have their work cut out for them to get out of their group. But it could happen. Our colleagues at Tencent are all here in Manila with the Chinese, hoping that they advance. So, all right, we'll be talking about it more. Like I said, it's you can also watch all these games on ESPN Plus. I mean, if you are really a basketball aficionado and to be this deep in this podcast, you'd have to be. I would see if you could, even if it's on delay, watch France versus Canada on Friday. That's what I will be doing.
We'll be breaking it down on Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I would have made it, you know, to see the Dominican Republic versus Philippines live, but you know, we're not all men of the people here.
We are not. We are not all men of the people.
Other,
that is certainly
a
true.
A few, you know, you're my friends, since you're here, that's what they said. A couple other housekeeping items. Angola and Italy are playing also at Philippine Arena, the big stadium, before the main event. So I think I just said that Dominican and Philippines was the only one playing there. And the other thing was Zayed Abbas is the 39-year-old for Jordan. I couldn't remember his name, who very unceremoniously shaved the head of their youngest player. Just pulled him aside on the court today, and he had a beautiful head of hair, and they just shaved his head. And I don't think he knew it was coming. If he knew it was coming, he didn't look like he knew it was coming. So very brutal hazing done there. Hope it doesn't affect the psyche going into it.
I remember when Wendy used to have a buzz cut back when he was. Back when he was.
Man of the people.
Celebrity, yeah.
Those were great days. Those were great days. All right. Thank you for listening to Hoop Collective Podcast. Thank you, McMahon. Thank you, Bontemps. Thank you to Jackson, our producer, who's most looking forward to the New Zealanders doing the, it was called the hookah dance. Oh,
goodness sakes, Wendy, the haka. The haka?
Jesus, man. Heavens. Yes.
Come on, and I've been to New Zealand too.
Come on, man. Damn.
I'm very.
Jackson, cut that out.
No, don't.
Definitely don't.
And there's a high school football powerhouse in suburban Dallas that does the haka. A team that they've got a ton of Tongans. They do the haka before every game.
By the way, Stephen Adams is of Tongan descent. There's your last little note for the podcast. All right, thank you. We'll see you in the Hoop Collective.
Adios, amigos.